What's good? We are back. One and only Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. So we're about to bring on a special guest, and we're live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, so appreciate anybody that's tuning in. So our guest has a bare knuckle record of 4-2. He's a high-level Muay Thai striker. He will be fighting in Italy, Florence, Italy, this Saturday, April 26th, versus Hayes Heppy. Let's bring on the one and only Steve Panda Banks. Steve, how you doing, man?
Good. Y'all, how y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. So I was looking up your bio. I saw that it says you was born in North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm originally North Carolina.
What part?
Right outside of Hickory, Morganton, North Carolina.
Okay, yeah, cause I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina, born and raised. So,
and in Myrtle.
Panda. Oh, you said what? What you say?
Did Myrtle for a while.
I did Myrtle Beach for a couple years. So let's start with your nickname. How'd you get the nickname Panda?
My very first fight in China in like 2009. The first Asia that I fought, I was always told if you ever fight Asia, if they give you a nickname while you're there, it's a respectful thing. So that's what you want to go by. So I decided that I liked it. My ex-wife liked it, and I thought it was a good nickname.
So connection was lagging a little bit there, but we good. So you've been doing Muay Thai before you got into bare knuckle. Did you do any other combat sports before you got into Muay Thai?
Actually, I started in the MMA. Did MMA and okay. Did kick Muay Thai and then bare knuckle.
Now, I saw it says you were WBC world champion in 2017. Is that the boxing championship?
Oh, it's Muay Thai.
A Muay Thai, okay. And what was that moment like for you?
Do what?
What was that moment like for you?
Man, it was amazing. Like, after I won and then I'm sitting back after the fight, one of the guys comes up and he just think about it. He said, you just won a title that can have you on stage with Evander Holyfield, George Foreman, Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, because they won the WBC. Now you are part of that group of the WBC champions.
Okay, so WBC has boxing and Muay Thai championships?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's why I was a little confused there.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people get confused because a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, because I actually thought you won a boxing championship. So I was like, damn, so you did Muay Thai and boxing? I was like, it's crazy. Now, why did you ultimately decide to get into bare knuckle? And when you did people tell you, like, you're crazy for doing this?
I actually got into it because of John Nutt over okay. in Phuket, Thailand.
Okay.
It was like right when COVID was kicking off and there wasn't a lot of availability and BKFC was not as large as they are now. And they offered me the opportunity and I was like, yeah, of course, let's do it. When they offered me the opportunity, I don't remember the name of the show, but it was a BKFC event in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the one thing that everybody did, as soon as you start going bare knuckle, you're crazy. You almost damaged. Hey, you though, it's just so dangerous. I mean, that's definitely one of the number one things that people say. The very first thing people are going to say, they're worried about, like, are you not worried about the brain damage or the injuries that you can take from bare knuckle?
Well, that's probably because they're kind of ignorant to the fact that, you know, bare knuckle is actually safer than boxing as far as long-term damage. And being that it's a fairly new sport, you know, you had to go through, you know, and gather the data and the evidence to prove that too. You just wouldn't know that out the gate.
Right. I mean, the thing is, a lot of people see because they see the visual damage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the biggest issue that anyone ever sees. They see the visual damage of the cuts. They don't see like the damage you get in football from taking a headshot to headshot, helmet to helmet all the time. That's way worse.
Did you play football?
Yeah, I played 22 years, I think.
Okay. Well, you're an offensive lineman?
Offensive lineman, defensive lineman, long snapper.
Okay. So when you got into bare knuckle, you didn't have to do no tryouts or go through the prospect series, right?
No, but okay. So they did not have, they had a tryout in Thailand.
Uh-huh.
They did, we were still required to go into them.
Mm-hmm.
They made it equal for everybody. So everybody had to make sure they showed up to the tryout to get looked at. Because okay. if we were still available or still had the possibility to actually fight. So, I mean, I still had to do the trials just like everybody else, but they didn't have the what they've got now with the extra smaller shows.
Okay. Now, your first fight, you won it, but was it everything you expected it was going to be, bare knuckle? Because I interviewed Chris Lytle, and he said he thought it was going to be a bunch of guys with no shirts, jeans, and like some garage with people just surrounding them while they fighting.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot different than what people think. But like my very first bare knuckle fight was on top of a hotel overlooking.
Oh, man.
So like the event.
And where was that at?
That was in Phuket, Thailand.
Oh, man.
So like.
That wasn't for BKFC. Oh, so that was a BKFC event. What you're talking about?
It was like almost like their fight series when they first start coming up.
Uh huh.
Smaller show over in Phuket, Thailand. I don't remember the name of the show.
Now, I was watching the highlights today. Some of your fights. You fought Mick Terrell. It got pretty bloody.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever got you that bloody before?
So I've had one real bad fight when I was MMA.
Uh-huh.
Wilson, my face was so swollen I couldn't bite into a fried egg.
Oh shit.
Oh, was that swollen? But when it comes to bloody, no, it was definitely Mick.
And how tough was that fight?
Oh, it was definitely tough. Like, a lot of things just didn't go my way.
And then you had to fight Perdomo right after. I felt like you had two of the toughest opponents. Oh, you want to hear me?
You there?
Can you hear me? Yo, 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 yo. I can hear you. Hold on a second.
Are you there?
Yo, can you hear me? Steve, you can't hear me?
I hear you now, yeah.
Okay, you can?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, so
I'm not great when it comes to electronics.
It's all good. It's all good, man.
Big danger cuts off, and somebody tried to call, and I pushed him off, and then I just can't hear anything.
It's all good, man. I mean, I know a lot of the fighters aren't always like computer savvy, internet savvy, or whatnot.
Yeah, dude, I don't even own a TV.
So. Your fight after Mick Terrell, it was Perdomo. Do you feel like you had two of the toughest opponents back to back in BKFC?
Yes.
I do too.
I definitely believe that because, I mean, I had, when I fought Mick, Mick actually broke my orbital.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You know, it happens. I mean, it's part of the game. I had almost 2 years from when I fought Mick to when I fought Perdomo.
Okay.
So it had been some time.
And Perdomo, is he as tough as they say? I mean, nobody's got past the first round on him.
I want a rematch.
You want a rematch?
100%. Like I want to hopefully I beat Hayes and hopefully I can get a rematch with him.
Well, so let's get into Hayes. I mean, because right before Hayes, you just won. So you're coming off a win. I've seen this Hayes Happy Cat. I watched some of his footage. I've seen him in a lot of the events and whatnot. I think people are anticipating his debut. I think with Lorenzo Hunt not being in the main event now,
yeah,
I think your fight with Happy is probably the second most intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So what do you know about this guy? I just know he got the tribal tattoos.
I've talked to him a little bit. He's been very cool. He's a family man. You know, he's put in the time and effort over the years in boxing and back over into, now he's into bare knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
He does not talk disrespectful. He doesn't. You know, he tries to show everything he can do in the ring, which is great.
That's what I'm about to say. He seems like he just means business.
Yeah.
Every time he fights.
So, like, where he was at, like, I think it was Australia he was at the time, where they got hit with, like, the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
He was helping out people around the house of the family, the friends, and everything. Was letting people know, look, if you need to come here, if you need help with water, food, anything, let us know. Come here. We'll help out.
So with your game plan, I know some fighters say that they just let their coach come up with a game plan and trust their coach. Do you do it that way? Or do you also like kind of watch footage yourself and kind of game plan yourself?
I game plan myself.
Okay. And
the reason
does it change a lot between fighters, would you say?
Yeah, it definitely changes between fighters. Like a lot of fighters are very different.
Uh-huh.
So you can look at fighters and you try to pick apart little things they do or little ticks or anything. So you just try to really look for different opportunities in a fighter that, you know, you can exploit. But then also, like, when you're in the fight, you have a great game plan,
mm-hmm.
but then it could all change.
Now, do you think you got him kind of figured out or what his weaknesses might be that you can possibly exploit?
Actually, no. Due to the fact that he's only 2-0 in bare knuckle.
Uh-huh.
Seen his couple of the boxing matches. I've seen his bare knuckle fights. And it's honestly, if you look at it, it's difficult because he's two different types of fighters in the bare knuckle to the boxing.
Mm.
You can definitely tell that he's actually thinking while fighting, which is great. It's great to see. Not from a fighter to fight standpoint, but like from a fan standpoint.
Yeah.
You're actually seeing a fighter using his intellectual side of himself to pick out an opponent.
Now, how hard does it make it to game plan for somebody when you don't got that much footage on them? Do you just kind of just go in and just play your game when you don't got that much footage?
Did you ever play any sports?
I just ran track.
Okay. Did you try to emulate what they were doing, or you just try to work on what you did better for yourself?
I just try to work on what I could do better for myself.
Same thing for fighting.
Yeah.
I don't try to emulate and change my style for the next person. I just try to emulate and make myself better. I know what you're seeing. You're seeing the mistakes that I make. That I see them, you see them, we all see them. Well, that's the exact same thing I try to make sure that I correct.
Now, how do you envision this match going? Do you think, like, y'all both going to try to, like kind of not bum rush each other and kind of fill each other out? Or do you think he might try to bum rush you out the gate? He don't seem like a bum rusher. He seems like the guy who just slowly moves towards you.
Well, I know he's a counter striker, for what I've been told.
Okay. Yeah.
Striker. So him and I both are slower starters. So it could be a fight that could go the distance at a blink of an eye. Like, no problem. And then just boom, it's over for one strike. Because now, him and counter strikers.
Are you prepared to go the distance? I mean, I'm starting to realize that a lot of these guys don't seem to have the cardio to go the distance.
I'm in a distance style cardio, but it's my style of fighting.
Yeah.
Like, I will look utterly, absolutely exhausted, but I'm still, I like to go the distance because, you know, we're still a game, it's still a sport. I still want to entertain the crowd and the fans. You know, I want to give them something to look at. But obviously, yeah, if we can throw one punch and not fight's over, we're definitely thrilled.
And it's always good to hear when the fighter always says they want the fans to come out and feel like they got their money's worth. And now, what do you think's easier to get? Fight of the night or knockout of the night? It seems like knockout of the night is so much easier to get.
Yeah, due to the fact that you got to put on performance and your fight of the night is not going to be a potential one strike.
Yeah.
It could be a 30, 40, 50 strikes, 2, 3, 4 minutes or 2, 3, 4 rounds. And then, you know, your knockout of the night could be one strike.
Yeah, it almost seems like it doesn't make sense to go for fight of the night. And maybe try to go out for knockout of the night if you're looking to try to get that bonus. Seems like fight of the night is something that kind of happens organically.
Yeah, I think both of them are kind of both of them are really organic.
Yeah, you're right.
Only catch them or you're not.
But typically for fight of the night, you typically got to go the distance.
I've seen fight of the nights where it's been like, 2 rounds, 3 rounds, not go the distance, but it was a performance.
Yeah.
You know, it was more combat instead of just a big pop shot or a one-sided event.
So I was going to ask you, out of both of your losses, which one did you want to avenge the most? But it seems like Perdomo is the one you want to get avenged the most.
I would love to avenge both.
Both?
Domo is the one that I want to do. I want to rematch on due to the fact that I had not fought in almost 2 years.
Yeah.
On him. So I would definitely like that rematch on that one. It's the first time I've been stop in BKFC in bare knuckle. I did get up. I'm a slow starter.
I'm glad you said that. You did get up. Nobody else gets up after getting knocked out the first time, I don't think.
Right. Well, after getting dropped the first time, I was like, all right, he got me. Second time, he dropped it, and I literally turned to my corner, and I was confused because I'm like, I thought they allowed us to keep going because they had mentioned it several times. Now, I know referees and judges, everybody's different. I know that. But I turned to my corner, and I looked at him, and I go, did I get knocked out? Like, why is the fight over?
Yeah.
They were looking at me like, no, you got up. I'm like, okay. Because my brain was not rattled. I don't feel that my brain was rattled. I did the medical, like, you know, Have you ever been to a BKSC event?
Not yet, man. Not live.
Okay. So the one thing that I really do respect about BKFC, they do a brain test before you fight.
Okay.
Then you do another test at the end of your fight.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of the test, but they do a lot of medicals before and after the test. You're still checked out again. So they check you. I don't know what happened. There he is. I don't know if it's a script. We want
okay. Black
if you're there or not. I don't know. But
where you at right now?
I'm at home in Shellersburg, Indiana.
Oh, you stay in Indiana?
Right now I do, yeah.
Okay, that's where Lytle's from.
Yeah, he's like an hour and a half above me.
All right, so you fight in the UK. Now you're fighting in Italy. What is it like fighting in these other countries?
I like it. I think it's fun.
Is it a different atmosphere when you go overseas?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's very different. Like, I fought in China for all the way up until I fought in China January 2020. And it was still like packed crowds. I don't think I've ever fought in one show over there in China that was not a packed crowd.
So has BKFC done a China event?
Not yet.
You said they did a Thailand. They didn't?
I think it was Knuckle. Something, I don't remember, but it was like a small like, clip it of getting to BKFC. I don't remember the old affiliation, everything, what it was. But I know that was the first they did, what was it, Pattaya?
Pattaya?
Before the one I got the opportunity to fight Mick.
Okay. So I'll be checking out the rankings. I was looking at the Knuckletown official rankings.
Yeah.
And I think they had you at 8th, but I thought there was a couple guys I felt like shouldn't have been ahead of you. Do you ever get caught up in the rankings?
I didn't even know the rankings. Like, it don't bother me one damn bit.
Most people say that it's really just there for the fans.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You agree with that?
100%. A lot of, now there are some fighters that'll use it. They use it for motivation to get moved up to where they gets them up in the morning to go somewhere. I know guys who actually will use the rankings to try to meet someone. I mean, it's cool.
Now, there's a lot of cats I noticed that retire from MMA or boxing, and they come to bare knuckle. Do you think bare knuckle is an old man sport?
Yes and no.
Uh-huh.
The fact that you can get cut as easy as you can in bare knuckle, I would say it would be closer to an end because, like, I've never broke my hands and... In bare knuckle, I've never had any of the damaging in bare knuckle. But then if you get cut, if you can take an MMA fight, and because you got the pads on, you can fight again in a month.
Yeah. And
if you get cut, you ain't fighting. You gotta wait. So you have to wait a little bit longer to heal.
What do you think about, like, I notice sometimes fighters be trying to look ahead to the next fight. You think that sometimes can be like disrespectful?
100%. Yes and no, because I've seen to where they mismatch some things.
Uh-huh.
They just, you know, you also have like, okay, I'm fighting Hayes. Like, a lot of people are going to say, oh, Hayes, what do you think's next for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've already seen that. And Hayes, yeah. I don't remember exactly what Hayes said, but Hayes says, like, well, I've got this fight first. You know, I can't just overlook the opponent, because this is an opponent you're not going to overlook.
Yeah. Do you think that could end up being a mistake for some guys? Even if you feel like it's unevenly matched, they might just go in and just nonchalant think they're going to easily beat this guy, and one hit, the guy might knock him out or something.
George St. Pierre versus Matt Serra.
Okay, that's what happened?
No, like, look at how many people are, like, already looking past Matt Serra. Yeah. Nobody was expecting. I lost money on that fight. Dang. I bet a girl, some girl named Vanessa, I don't remember her last name, but I bet her $200 in a date that she was from the same look, like right down the road era from where Matt Serra was. And I convinced her, I said, you know, I'll bet you, I said, Matt Serra's going to get slept. He's going to get put to sleep. It's going to be a one-sided GSP fight. And she's like, I'll take you a bet on you. I was like, all right. I said, $200 on a date. And she's like, I'll take that bet. I'm like, all right, cool. So she took the bet, and I lost.
And so you had to pay her $200, and you didn't get no date.
You're right. I paid her $200 and did not get no date.
Dang.
And she said, well, she said, you know, you said the date was in line, so you don't get the date. I'm like, oh, it got me.
So when you supposed to be flying out to Italy here?
What's today? Sunday? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? So you're going to be there a whole good week.
Hey, I get there. I officially will be there Tuesday.
Do you plan to go out and do some sightseeing before the match or nothing?
Like, I mean, okay, I lived in Europe for 6 months.
Okay.
So I lived in Nottingham, England for right at 3. And then I just spent like 3 before just traveling, seeing Italy. Not Italy, but like seeing Europe.
Now, I know the goal is always to basically win a belt in your division.
Yeah.
But I realize guys also have other goals. Like, what's some of the other goals you have in BKFC?
Make enough money to buy my sailboat.
A sailboat?
My thing is I want to get back with my dogs and get a sailboat. Okay. With my dogs.
Now, I did see that you're big with your dogs, man. Your dogs are like family. I got a dog too, man. So I think when a person loves dogs, I think that says a lot about a person. I think that tells me that they got a heart and they're a decent human being.
Yeah, those are my babies.
What kind of dogs you got?
I had 3. I had one pass away in February.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
But I've got 2 right now. I've got a Pekingese and a Pomeranian.
So when are you going to do selling? You going to do any fishing or anything like that?
I'm probably one of the worst fishermen in the world. but I'm kind of open. I've got a chart of the top 100 places in the world to go snorkeling.
Uh-huh.
The top 100 places in the world to go scuba diving. And yeah, I know there's not very largely different, but it's like the best coral reefs in the world, the sunken ships, just different things that you can see around the world that you normally don't get to see.
Sunken ship sounds cool, man. I'm into things like that, you know. Historical things, you know, from the past and whatnot.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool just to go around. Like, I would love to go out to Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
able to go do that. I don't even know if that's even allowed.
Well, I think they got the little museum thing set up with all the giant warships and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about to go down there and go like snorkeling around.
To try to find like Pearl Harbor, like old planes or something that might have fell in there.
See, like go down there in the water around the areas where something is.
So I always like to ask people, do you think BKFC could be as big as the UFC or possibly bigger at some point?
Not yet. Like, you can still ask people if they know what BKFC is.
And they say no?
Like, no. Okay. But then UFC, yeah. But then you also got to remember, BKFC's been around just a few years.
Yeah.
UFC has been around 25, something like
that. Probably like that. Yeah.
So they've also gotten more publicity on ESPN, on Sportsline, and all this. A lot of their fighters have already gone on to movie roles, TV roles. And then you've also got like Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor coming over to BKFC was big because Conor McGregor's got the movie role, the big fight against Floyd. So he's had a lot more publicity for that. But then even when Conor McGregor fought Floyd, he was still signed with the UFC. So everything that they were pushing for Conor McGregor, you continuously saw clips of when he won the titles. And if anybody looked at anything, well, what's that? Oh, that's UFC. That's where he fights. So they're seeing that. They're automatically going to be drawn to UFC.
Do you think BKFC has enough star power to take it to the next level?
I haven't really looked at it yet as the potential. I think one of the biggest issues that BKFC will always have, which I think they're doing an amazing job, is they're trying to build their stars.
Uh-huh.
They are trying to build this, which is great. I think one of the issues that they'll always have is trying to get fighters that are willing to fight every chance they get. A lot of fighters, like in the UFC, like Chris Liebman, when Chris Liebman come up and he fought Anderson Silva, a lot of Americans thought that he was just going to walk over this Brazilian guy. But if anybody knew anything about Pride, it was like, yeah, no, this is going to be a great match.
I interview guys, they all seem like they want to fight more, but they had trouble getting more fights.
Yeah. Now, what I'm talking about is like, if you look, who was like Donald Cerrone?
Uh-huh. What,
3 fights in 1 year?
You said how many fights in 1 year?
Like 3, 4, maybe 5 fights in 1 year.
Uh-huh.
But in bare knuckle, the biggest problem is you get cut. In bare knuckle, you get cut easier, so you're going to have to take time off.
But you have a lot of guys sometimes, though, like even like Marcus Edwards the other night in Omaha. I mean, he didn't even get touched.
Yeah.
So he should be able to fight literally, you would think, a month or two from now.
But how many other fighters are on the roster that they've got to actually look at as well?
And that's the thing. They keep adding so many new fighters. You got so many debuts. I think it's hard sometimes for the homegrown guys to get those fights that they want to get. You know, because it still is a growing sport, you know?
Right. The biggest thing is they've got to be able to perform and give them something to make the matchmakers, the fans. You need to get in the eyes. You need to get that twinkle in the eyes of certain individuals to where they see you. They want to see you.
No, that's a real good point, because I ain't going to say no names, but I've seen some guys win fights and can't get no more fights because their performance in the fight was just terrible. Like, they was running half the time, hardly no punches thrown.
Yeah.
You know, trying to play it safe doesn't really put on a great performance in bare knuckle, I don't think. Yeah. I think you got to get in there sometimes, get in the clinch and... You know, get down and dirty, man. Sometimes, if you want to get a great, great fight, we got to see blow after blow after blow after blow. We can't see a guy just dodging and ducking the whole time, man.
Right. This thing is a lot of people don't see and don't understand. Like, it is about, obviously, we want to put on a great show. We want to do it for, but then. To get that fight to where you are brought in quick, you got to give the fans something to actually want to tune in to. You got to give them, you don't want to be the guy, oh man, here he goes again. You know, he's running away. He's not doing something. You know, they want to be entertained.
I think that's what's great about you guys as fighters. I mean, you look at some other sports like NBA, they don't care about the fans as much. They just care about those big old paychecks. And they're fine with losing because all they care about is the money. But even when y'all guys lose, y'all are more like conscious of like, well, did I put on a good performance or a good fight? Because, you know, I'm pretty sure when you lose, it probably makes it harder to get a next fight. So you got to put on a good performance, I would think.
Yeah. So, like, if you put on a bad performance, you say you put on a bad performance and then Dave likes you to bring you in. But then he talks to Chris Lytle and Chris Lytle's like, well, he didn't do this. He didn't do that. And I wasn't on that. But then all of a sudden Dave's going to be like, well, you know what? You're right. But then they're going to talk to another guy. They're going to another matchmaker. I don't even know. I'm just using names. But then they contact another guy. And they go, yeah, you know, it was okay, but I've got my suspicion this guy would be a better fighter. So if you don't put on a good show, you're going to have several of them questioning your integrity to be able to put on a great show.
How hard is it for you to ever make weight? I know that's another thing that's frowned upon. If you don't make weight, they're definitely not looking to give you another fight.
Yeah, me making weight after coming back to the U.S. From Thailand to here, it's been a struggle. I've made a difference in the last few months on my food intake and changing a lot of things up. I've gotten a lot better, but it's still going to be a struggle.
I would almost think it's easier to make weight under the heavyweight division because y'all got a big weight gap, don't y'all?
I mean, there's a big stage for us. It's like 206 to 265, 285.
Yeah, that's kind of a gap right there.
Also, you got to remember, like even Rothwell, like you're 6'4", 300 pounds. That's easy.
Yeah.
That's like, look at offense and defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Like, look at the NFL offense and defensive linemen. Look at college offense and defensive linemen. They're all 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, they're huge.
300 plus pounds.
Yeah. Now, I got a couple more questions for you. I noticed while I was watching the Bryce Henry fight, it seems his height advantage was just too overwhelming. Like, how much does that ever play a part in BKFC?
Well, if you've got the range, it also depends on the style of fight you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're tall and long, but you like to fight away, you're going to be able to use your range. But then it's also, who's your opponent? Does your opponent know how to cut angles to get on the inside to use their advantage to themselves, for themselves.
Yeah, I think Bryce was like, if I'm not mistaken, 6'3", and his opponent was like maybe 5'7" or 5'8" at most.
What's been the biggest height difference?
What's been the biggest height? I really don't know.
I know that they were just talking about one that we just had this weekend. It may have been that one. It may have been that one they were talking about.
I think it was, yeah, the Derek Finley and Bryce Baba Yaga Henry. Like, that height advantage was tremendously different.
Yeah.
It seemed like these little, when you're a little guy, I noticed they always like to duck their head down and kind of just come in all wild and throw a shot.
Go back looking, just boxing.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He's a short heavyweight. Rocky Marciano was a short heavyweight. Muhammad Ali was a tall heavyweight. George Foreman, tall heavyweight.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at the sizes of even the former boxers, the way they moved, like, it was, you know, they move for way that they're taught and trained. And you do not learn how to box, how to be like someone else. You act, well, there's some people do, but then you learn what works great for your size and your ability.
So at the weigh-ins, I'm guessing you don't expect anything to pop off, right? You ever had a few weigh-ins where things pop off?
I've had a couple of issues here and there, but nothing crazy.
I know that last one Perdomo was in, he literally almost knocked the guy out during the weigh-ins because the dude kind of smacked him in the face a little bit.
Yeah, the one thing that I saw when the guy did that was, you know, he touched Perdomo's face.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't no reason to be disrespectful to no man for that. No reason.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna touch my face, I'm probably gonna hit you.
Yeah. No, I definitely felt like Perdomo was in the right, because I mean, he said, "Don't put your hands on me." Then old boy tried to kind of like do the little slap to the face like that, and I mean, Perdomo is Perdomo.
Yeah. Like Perdomo did, you know, he said, "Dude, don't touch me. Don't touch me."
Yeah.
And I mean, he already warned him and he got hit for it.
I think it makes for good entertainment. It'll kind of, you know, makes the fights a little bit more interesting sometimes when cats get into it in the weigh-in and whatnot, just get a little testy. So
it's like the fans like it because they're saying like, ooh, this could be a really big fight.
So what are we going to expect in your next fight, man? You going to guarantee a win? Do you guarantee wins?
I never try to guarantee a win.
Okay. I can respect that.
Somebody that wins. Either he'll win or I'll win.
I can respect that. A lot of guys like to guarantee wins and don't get the win, so that ain't always a good thing.
I'm not a great gambler, so I'm not good at that one.
All right, so you excited for this match, though?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun one.
And this is going to be the first time BKFC is in Italy, so I know Italy probably don't know what to expect with this one.
I don't know, man. I've seen a lot of videos, a lot of clips of BKFC promoting it, and like I know, like Hayes now, and he's already done like their I don't know, their sports center style, a couple of their podcasts or TV shows or whatever. Which is great. Like they're promoting and they're marketing and pushing it already, which is great to see.
Which basically kind of validates what I said, that y'all's fight is one of the more intriguing fights and interesting fights. Cause I mean, I know there's a lot of people that's anticipating his debut as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But the one thing I've noticed, there's been a lot of big name fighters that have said they're going to be there in the crowd. Andy Ruiz Jr.
Okay.
Jerome LeBanner, Peter Arts, Julio Chavez Caesar Jr. Like they're obviously, and there's a lot of people that I ain't got a clue who they are. I know it's been a lot of like European football, soccer.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys over there. Like I'm excited. I get to meet Jerome LeBanner. That's what I want.
That's what's up.
Like he's my number one kickboxing fighter of all time. Like I think it's cool to get a chance to meet him.
Yeah, I definitely going to think it's going to still be a good event. I don't know much about the a lot of the other fighters. I know the local talent from around the way, but you still got what is it? The what's that second fight? You still got Rico Franco, Jimmy Sweeney. You got you and Hayes. I think that's going to be the second most watched fight for me. I think just with the Lorenzo Hunt having to step out, I think it takes a little bit of
what
excitement from it. He got a cut over his eye, a real, real deep cut over his eye.
Okay, I thought he had got a cut on his eye and his chin.
I don't know if he got cut on his chin, but he did have a real deep cut over his eye.
On his leg.
What'd you say? I couldn't hear you.
In his leg.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I just only saw the one cut. I just know it was too deep for him to actually fight this next fight.
Okay, because I saw him get like the video of him getting in an ambulance and they had a wrap around his leg and they had a bandage on his head. And I was like, what's going on? But I didn't look into it.
Yeah, this is one time where I could say, hey, this guy ain't backing out because he's scared. He's literally... If he goes in and fights, oh boy, gonna be able to punch him one time and open that cut wide open, you know. And so I do think he probably needs to heal that cut. And it really sucks. I think he was gonna win his belt back personally. Yeah. So now he's gotta wait, man, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're doing the Rocky thing with the whole
Italian. The Rocky thing, yeah.
Now he's getting the opportunity. Step up and fight he's fighting his Apollo.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to do something to kind of beef up that fight now that it's not, you know, as exciting and as intriguing as it would have been.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, Omaha, you had two fights that didn't go through. One didn't make weight and the other guy pulled out. They didn't say why. So that was two fights off of that card.
All right.
You know, it's part of the game. Before we let you go, man, any shout outs you want to do?
I'm just waiting, ready to get to set. Hopefully we get to entertain the crowd well enough that they want to keep tuning in and cheers on.
Well, make sure you travel safe. Hope you enjoy your time out there, Italy. I'm pretty sure you're going to take some pictures and whatnot of the scenery.
You know, it's going to sound funny, but
you don't.
I don't really like having my phone out taking photos of everything.
Yeah.
Like because I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV in my room. I've got a couple books. I've never been big on videos or photos of when I do travel.
So you don't like movies or nothing?
I mean, I watch them every once in a while, but I don't have.
You don't even watch none of the fight cards.
I'll tune in for the fights.
Okay.
But I only do it on my phone. I can't do it on a TV because I don't have a TV hooked up.
Hey, you like what you like, man. You like what you like.
Gotta keep it simple.
Yep. And simple's good a lot of times. Sometimes you don't want things too complex, man. It can be very, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna be excited to watch your fight, man. Like I said, have safe travels. Appreciate you taking time out. I'm gonna make sure I, you know, clip up as much as I can in this interview, you know, promote you and whatnot, get the name out there, man.
Appreciate it. I know that I've got I lost access to one of my Instagram pages, the Panda Banks.
Uh-huh.
access to it, but I finally got it up again.
Okay.
The Banks and Panda underscore BKFC.
Okay, so is that the other one, the Panda underscore BKFC? That's the other one?
Yeah, so I went on to create that one, but then as soon as I created it, I got the Panda Bank access again.
Okay, well, that's good to know, man. That's good to know. Anything I see you posted, I'm going to definitely make sure I support it, give a comment, all that good stuff, man.
But, like, I would like, you know, just quick shout-outs, like Pandemonium Papers.
Okay.
It's literally Pandemonium rolling papers for rolling joints.
Okay.
I made my own brand, so it works out well for me. I like them. They roll smooth. It's nice. Pineapple Podcast. It's one of my sponsors. Burma Doodles. I'm screwed the name up so bad. It's Burma Doodle, the Flew or something. They're another one of my podcasts. I've never once said their name correctly, ever. Not once. The Phuket Park, the ones that are taking care of my dogs in Thailand right now. Thank y'all.
Your dogs are in Thailand?
Yeah, I got my two babies are in Thailand right now.
Is that where you originally live?
I lived there for like 9 or 10 years.
Okay.
And when COVID happened, the CDC, I wasn't allowed to fly them over.
Yeah. Okay.
Right now I'm working on the whole issue of like for the flights and just anything, everything about it. It's just miserable.
So you're probably missing them guys, I would think.
Those are my babies. I don't have kids. I don't have a wife, nothing. Those are my children. Those are my babies.
Yeah, that's how my dog is. I'm single, no wife, no kids. So my dog is like my kid too, man. I could just go like outside for like 2 minutes and she come back act like I've been gone forever.
my palm, when my girl, when she was over there, she'd pick him up, walk off with him. Over her shoulder like, where are you going? Where are you going? And then as soon as she put him down, instead of him staying with her, he'd run back to me every time.
Well, hopefully we get them back to you soon, man, so you can get that sailboat and you could hit that ocean and go hit Pearl Harbor, man.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I think it'll be worth it.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out, man. I want to take up all your time. I know you got to get ready to travel.
Thank you.
Get situated. Yeah, anytime, man. Anytime, man. You're more than welcome. You're a friend of the show now.
Okay.
All right, man. Take it easy, Steve.
See ya.
All right, peace. Well, there you have it. Steve Panda Banks will be fighting in Italy this Saturday, BKFC 73. It was supposed to be Camozzi versus Lorenzo Hunt. Lorenzo Hunt got a big old cut over his eye. So, and I guess he got a cut on his leg too, from what Steve said. I mean, you still got Rico Franco and Jimmy Sweeney. That's probably going to be the go-to fight of the night. I know they're trying to do the whole Rocky thing with this Andre Beachy, but I don't know. I mean, if he wins, it definitely going to be a Rocky kind of upset and whatnot. But it's going to suck for Camozzi if he loses, because this guy is definitely making his debut. And, of course, you got Steve Banks going to be fighting Hayes Heppy. Definitely interested to see that one. Hayes been making his way around a lot of these BKFC events. And as Steve said, he's promoting heavy out there in Italy right now. I think, to me, that's the second most interesting fight for the night is Hayes Heppy versus Steve Banks, fellow North Carolinian born. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Go live on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. A couple people tuned in earlier, said Happy Easter. Appreciate y'all. Happy Easter. My guy, Mark, have a blessed Sunday. Appreciate you as well. I got another interview this Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern time with Chachi Versace. He will be fighting Anthony Yost at BKFC Clearwater. And that's actually a really good one right there. I think that's a really stacked card. Of course, all the Florida cards are always stacked. But you got Jerry Warren versus Joseph prayer. Of course, my guy Ryan Reber versus Matt Guyman. Reber's trying to get, you know, make that comeback to get that title shot versus Blas again, which those are tough, man. I think once you lose the title shot, it's going to be a tough road, a road of redemption to try to get back. You got Jomi Escoboza versus Jay Axon Jackson, who's coming off a win. Jay's 5-3, Jomi's 9-2. That's going to be a good one, I think. Michael Larimore versus Samuel Samples. Both are 2-1, so they're both looking to go to 3-1. Crystal Pittman, who I've been trying to set up an interview with here, she said she's down for it, just got to set up a date. So the beautiful Crystal Pittman's fighting Claudia Zamora. You got Nathan Rivera, Alex Castro, Joseph White versus Brady Meister. I like Joe White. Ben Jacobson, Rodney Hinton, Quentin Gaskin, Logan Spear. And of course, Chachi Versace versus Anthony Yost. Go check out the interview we did with Anthony Yost like a couple weeks ago and whatnot. Actually, I think it was last week we did the Anthony Yost interview. And we got Chachi Versace Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Don't forget the audio version goes to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Appreciate everybody that tuned in on Instagram. Look like Bare Knuckle Tony, Anthony Yost, appreciate you. Melanie Shaw, appreciate you. She out there in the UK. See what she said. Yo, Panda was a fucking G, was on the same card of my very first fight in the UK. Appreciate you tuning in. Melanie, good friend of the show as well. Need to bring her back on. And I don't know if she'll be fighting at BKFC anytime soon, but it's hard for the women to get fights, man. There's only one fight per card, if that. So definitely tough road. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Make sure y'all follow me on all social media platforms. Like I said, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. We go live, upload to Rumble, BitChute, millions.co as well. And the clips to go to Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and then audio version of the podcast goes to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Hope y'all enjoy y'all's Sunday. Happy Easter. It's 420. Y'all know what I'm about to do. Peace. And I'm out.